So the top of our list today is to make sure we say Happy Mother's Day. Thank you very much for your attendance. We appreciate your being here. I think I shortchanged Clint a song. I didn't know I did that. I'm so sorry about that. He asked me about that just a second ago. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm excited to talk to you all about mothers. That's why I'm up here a song early. I still haven't quite figured out our order of service. One of these days I'm going to figure it out, and then on that day it's very likely to change. But Clint asked us to stand up, and I thought that was my sign, man. That's normally when I make my way on down. So I apologize. I owe y'all a song. I can either sing it to you now if you want. Any takers on that? Or we'll add another one in a little bit later on. I am really sorry about that. I'm glad that you're here. I'm thankful for all of the moms that we have with us. Happy Mother's Day to you. The Bible, of course, lets us know that it's good, not just good, but really necessary that we extend honor to whom honor's due. So I'm quite glad this morning that we have a whole day devoted to moms. And I'm excited to open up our Bibles together and talk about some very special ladies whose lives are an example to all of us. When I talk about ladies and sermons, that's not the cue for us gentlemen to tune out a little bit and not pay as close attention. I wish that every man I knew had these qualities that we're going to see in these ladies this morning. I've noticed something over my years of ministry, and it's that the ladies oftentimes put us to shame in their spirituality. You've perhaps noticed that church services spike on Mother's Day. That's a big day for churches. Whereas a little later in the summer, Father's Day is going to come around, and that's not as big of a day for churches. That's a big day for playing golf, going fishing, having barbecues in the backyard, that sort of thing. I think it's a very strong testament to the spiritual anchor that a lot of our ladies are. On Mother's Day, we know what we're doing. We're picking out our clothes the night before. We're getting ready to come to Bible study and worship service. And I think that's a beautiful thing, a really, really nice thing that we can say about our moms this morning. I'm happy to start off a sermon that honors moms by talking about a very special mom, Hannah, whose life we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 1, talks to us a bit about Hannah. And what it has to say at first is that this woman had no children. And she had the heart of a mom, even without children. So today is a day that honors mothers in a lot of different ways. There are very, very few things that I can do as a preacher that makes everybody happy. Talking about prayer is one of those things that I can do, and everybody agrees with me about that. That's, you know, when I say that we need to pray more, people, they say yes to that. And when I talk about the important role of mothers, that's another one of those safe topics that preachers can preach on, and there's never any pushback because we all love our mothers and we have a very special place in our hearts for mothers. Hannah here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 had the heart of a mother, though she was childless. The Bible lets us know, sadly, about her in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5 that she was barren, her womb was closed. And this was the source of provocation and mean jokes made by other ladies towards Hannah. And Hannah prays one night. She prays dearly, and she asks the Lord for a child. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 11. And the Lord grants this prayer of hers. And not too much later, Samuel is born. And Hannah was such a tender and loving mother to Samuel. So we honor her this morning by thinking about her tender heart her heart that wanted a baby, and her life, her actions. If you know the upbringing of Samuel, you know that it was a little unconventional. Hannah, as a part of her prayer, said to the Lord that if she would be blessed with a child, she would give over that son to the Lord's service. She was a mother who wanted her children to belong to God and realize that our children, well, they're just on loan from God to us. That's not the way it seems day in and day out. It seems like they're ours, and maybe some days it seems like they'll never go away. But in truth, our children belong to God. And God is loaning them to us for this vapor's worth of life here on earth. However long or short it may be, the Lord has given us these children, and He wants them back. At the end of their life, however long or short it may be, the Lord wants His children back. So in the meantime, we need to make sure that we raise ours the way that Hannah was committed to raising hers. We also think about Esther today. Esther is a courageous woman who was at the right place at the right time. I think about how many moms were at the right place at the right time. How many moms who have just the right thing to say. You know, I have daughters, so I'm a little bit at a disadvantage already. But there would still be some things that I would say to my children, go talk to your mom about that. Because she's better at a few things than I am. And moms have that special knack to be able to say the right things in the right situations. No one's perfect. We're not pretending this morning that there is such a thing as a perfect mother, or that Esther was perfect, or that our moms today should be perfect. But Esther's life teaches us so much about godliness behind the scenes. If you know very much about the story of Esther, you know that she affected the salvation of her people. I mean, the Jews were marching toward extinction, and Esther steps in, and God famously messages Esther and tells her in chapter 4, verse 14, you're here at this time, at this place, and it's God's doing here. The Lord has set these chain of events in motion and has brought you to this time and this place for a purpose. This morning, the Lord has a purpose for us. He has a plan for us. None of us are here by accident. Many of us assembled here on Friday evening to watch the Is Genesis History documentary. Very, very good documentary, I might add, and very helpful to our faith. And one of the messages that's kind of a subtext to this creation story, the Genesis paradigm, as they called it in the film, is that we're here on purpose. You know, we're not here by accident. And the fact that we are here on purpose, well, that means something. Esther was where she was on purpose, and her life, out of nowhere, shows up and saves the Jews. I think about Esther often, and I think about her as being like another one of my favorite characters, Noah. Noah, you know, in Genesis chapter 6, he built an ark that saved the whole world. And Esther, without building an ark, saved the whole world by daring to do what she did to speak on behalf of God's people. And if you're thankful for your salvation this morning, you have Esther to consider and to thank, because the Jews were about to be wiped out until Esther spoke up and made sure that she did what she could do. It was very difficult for her to do this. She was afraid, but she set her fear aside, And she interceded. She spoke on behalf of God's people and affected their salvation. So we need courage today from mothers, from fathers, from children, from everybody. It's not a girl lesson to talk about Esther, because the things that she teaches us are things that everybody needs. We all need this dose of courage. We all need our eyes to focus on the fact that God is there even when we can't necessarily see him. God's hand is moving the events of the book of Esther. And God's presence is strongly felt, even though we don't read about him intervening directly and dealing directly with this situation. There's something in the religious world we call providence, and that is the way in which God provides for us in his non-miraculous, indirect ways. God has told us that he's going to be there for us, and we can put that to the test. In fact, the Lord dares us to put that to the test. This morning, if your family's not sure about whether or not God's there for you, put it to the test. The Bible encourages us to do that. And says that God can pass that test. He'll make a way for us. Now, I want to be very fair here and let us know that what God is not promising is that he's going to give us everything on our wish list. Matthew chapter 6 is where Jesus updates the subject of providence. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is very careful to let us know that God is going to give us those things that we need. Not necessarily everything that we want, but those things that we need will be given to us. And we can trust in God to do that, just like Esther did. I love next talking about Ruth. Ruth is a tremendous lesson about loyalty. Ruth very famously tells her mother-in-law that she will go where she goes. Ruth will lodge where her mother-in-law lodges, that she wants to make sure that God is first in her life. Her life is one of sticking with God and making sure that she never strays far away from God. That is a much needed quality, not just in mothers, but in everyone today, but especially moms. We need moms who are willing to say, with a different twist, the words of Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God." You know the lay of the land out there. You know the kind of world that we live in. It's busy, it's crowded, it's chaotic, it's fussy, it's messy. There's a lot going on. And we're at the beginning of a really, really, really busy season for a lot of us families. And it's easy when the calendar's so full, it's easy to say, we have to maybe give up a few things, and maybe we won't be as regular in our church attendance as we are during slower times of the year. I hear that sort of thing as a preacher, and I want to remind us that Ruth put the Lord first, and she was committed to that. And everything else on her to-do list came after that. I want to encourage us today to be a family that follows that example. Mothers, I want to encourage you to be just like Ruth and to have her same loyalty for God. She made sure that he came first. And when she made sure that God came first, you know the story of Ruth. It is that everything else worked out. Everything else worked out. Everything that was seemingly absent in Ruth's life came. when she put God first. And so I want to encourage us to make sure that we put Him first, and we'll find the same thing that she found, that everything in our life that seems missing, it's going to come into place, if not now, later on, if not in this life, then in the next life. One thing about being loyal to God is that the payoff is grand. We live our lives here, and while we do, we grow certain attachments to this world and the way things are, but we realize, hopefully we realize, some people go through life and never realize this, that the whole reason that we're here is to make a home for us when we're not here anymore. We're here to plan our lives for another place, another time, that's beyond this life, you know, because everything that's here is not going to last forever. The Bible lets us know that all of this is coming to an end. The people we're talking about this morning, Hannah, Esther, Ruth, they've lived and they've died. They're gone. And we're heading in that same direction. Not only are we heading in that same direction, but the earth, the world that we're living in, is heading in that same direction. Peter lets us know that one day it's going to die too. Holidays are hard times for people who have lost a loved one. And so this morning, as we honor those who deserve honor on this special day, we also remember those whose hearts are hurting because they've lost somebody special. Ruth was somebody who lost a spouse, and her life was different. And the hole from that loss was hard to fill, but God provided for her. As Ruth pledged herself and her faith to Him, her life came into better focus. The pain of that loss subsided a bit. That loss, that pain never goes away, but it was eased some by her faith and her trust and her confidence in the Lord. Good friends that she surrounded herself by who helped in her goal and her plan to be faithful and true to God, her life was blessed. And Ruth this morning is a tremendous example for us to make sure that we all, not just ladies, but us men too, we all try to be like Deborah. Deborah is another great female in the Bible. In Judges chapter 5, verse 7, Judges 5, 7, she's called the mother of Israel. In Judges chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible lets us know that she had won respect and acclaim from a lot of people. So the Bible lets us know that Deborah was a respected lady, a helpful lady. She was also extremely courageous. In Judges chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, the Bible lets us know that she stood up when nobody else would. And I think about Deborah today in terms of mothers who are there leading their families in the Lord without the support that they should be getting from other family members. There are a number of ladies who are faithful to God when men are not. And Deborah lived that life. You know, Deborah was there to be a leader when nobody else stepped up for that position, for that role. Others should have stepped up and led instead of pushing it off onto Deborah, but they didn't. And so somebody had to be there to represent God, to make sure that His will was done. And in this case, in Israel's history, it was Deborah who filled this role. She was even counted among the judges of Israel, the only female judge. And it's a title of honor that we give her today, because she did what so few people would do. There were contemporaries whose job it should have been to step in and lead God's people, but they wouldn't do it. They lacked the courage of Deborah. There are a lot of families, I know, there are a lot of great Christian families that revolve around a matriarch, that revolve around a lady. And not to be grim, but I've seen throughout my years of ministry, when that lady who is kind of keeping the whole family together spiritually and in other ways, when she passes away, I've seen too many times that family spiral out of control spiritually and in other ways. So the leadership of a lady is a beautiful thing. And Deborah here shows how much somebody can do. And it's a bittersweet moment in Israel's history. It really is. I mean, sweet for obvious reasons, because this morning we're able to talk about a truly lovely lady who stepped up and led God's people and did what nobody else was willing to do. That's the sweetness. But bitterness, obviously, because she had to do it. And she should not have had to do it. But life is messy. Life is ugly at times. And sometimes people have to do things that they should not have to do. There are families right now where the children have to provide spiritual example and spiritual influence. That's not something that the children should have to do. But there are some families that are made up that way. The parents are not members of the church, or the parents are not faithful members of the church, and so the children have to provide spiritual leadership. That's not the way God wants it to be. But in those cases, should we find ourselves in them? We have to stand up for God, even if nobody else will. If mom and dad won't follow the Lord, I have to the best of my ability. In some cases, husband and wife, they're not on the same page. You know, one thinks that church is important and the other one not so much. In those cases, it's tough. It's hard, obviously. It's hard. And sometimes it's a wife, sometimes it's a husband, has to be there to do the job of both. The Lord loves Christian families. He wants Christian families. And the fact that not all are is a sad thing, and shows us that there's a whole lot of work to do, a whole lot of work to do for the Lord. Work like Anna was doing. We read about Anna in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 gives us a quick glimpse of this lesser-known Bible character here. And what it tells us about her is remarkable, and it's unremarkable at the same time. It's remarkably unremarkable. The Bible lets us know that she was a prophetess. That's an interesting fact about Anna. Something to file away and make note of. She was a prophetess. Also, she was a devoted wife to her husband. And beyond that, not a lot else is revealed about Anna. But what more do you need? You know, what more needs to be said about somebody? I have preached funerals, and far too many funerals, you know. And there are a number of occasions where it's hard to find something favorable to say. there are some funerals that I've preached where I wished, I hoped that I could be able to say what I can now say about Anna, that she was faithful to God and faithful to her husband. In a world like the one that we're living in, man, being faithful to God and faithful to your husband, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And Anna was that. And she probably doesn't get the attention that she deserves for being faithful to God and faithful to her husband. We're happy to give her some of that posthumous attention right now. And let us be encouraged by her regular life. She didn't do what Esther did, didn't even do what Ruth did. Anna is not mentioned in the same breath as Hannah, who prayed for a son and was given that son. But what Anna did here in Luke chapter 2, what we're learning about her, it's impressive stuff indeed. She was faithful to God and faithful to her husband. And in a world where both are on the decline, we're really, really happy this morning to shine a little light on Anna's life. And now, your mom deserves a place on this list. I think it was Abraham Lincoln or Mark Twain or maybe both. I don't know. All of the really cool quotes are attributed to one or the other, who said, "Everybody I know has a mom." Well, that's no duh. That's universally true. We can talk about moms, and these lessons hit home because we all have connection to what it is we're discussing. And as we said earlier in the lesson, with all due respect, no mom is perfect. We love ours. We cherish ours. We love the mother of our children. We cherish her. But we know that no one's perfect. Moms are the reason that we're all here today. And we have this moment right now thanks to our mom, who brought us into this world, who gives us this life. We're all on loan from God, but we're here now thanks to somebody. And we're here now with an opportunity to please God ourselves and to have our own life thanks to a mom who loved us so much and took great care of us. Did you notice what we did in this lesson this morning? We talked about Hannah, Esther, Ruth, then Deborah, Anna, and your mom. We wish all of the mothers a very, very happy Mother's Day. It's your day. Enjoy it. We're happy that you've shared a bit of it with us this morning at the Augusta Road Church of Christ. We know that our life is so much bigger than ourselves. We have a soul that God has given us, and we need to make sure that we take good care of that soul because, well, the Bible lets us know, and we've pointed out in this short lesson that God wants that back. He's given us that soul, and he wants us to make sure that it gets back to him. So this morning, I'm happy to close out our sermon by saying the best kind of mom you can be is a good, faithful Christian mother. The best kind of dad you can be is a good, faithful Christian dad. The best kind of person in general you can be is a good, faithful Christian. And we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And that purpose is to acknowledge God in our life, to please him, to let him save us from our sins. God has a plan for doing that. And this morning, if you haven't obeyed God's plan of salvation, we want to encourage you to do that before we leave today. That would be a blessing to your life and to your family's life. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. These are things the Bible says we must do in order to be saved. Jesus himself said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. So if you have put that off, don't put it off any longer. If you're ready today to be baptized, we're ready today to baptize you. If you have already obeyed the gospel, you've heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized, that is fantastic. That's a great blessing. Please make sure that you are living a faithful life. And if we can help you in that way this morning, we would love to do so. While we stand and while we sing, won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.